You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Hello folks, welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 13th of June 2021, a very hot, humid day today. They said today was going to be the hottest day here in Ireland. And I seen on the actual card about 22 degrees, and I see Joan on the chat room there. Good evening, Joan. She's saying that she reported 26 degrees today, but it was kind of sticky and humid more so than clear blue skies. I would have been loving to get the clear blue sky with the vitamin D coming through rather than have cloudy skies and have it kind of humid and kind of sticky, you know. But however, it's warm and that's what I like. I like the heat rather than the cold. So it's good to have it. Anyway, my guest on the show tonight is a lady that I've had on a few times on the show, Patricia Curry. And we always end up having a great chat and kind of being hopefully grounded and speaking sense, common sense. And we're going to be getting into the subject matter tonight, and we're going to be talking about that because as of late, there's been a lot of kind of internet spiritual gurus and leaders and all this kind of stuff. And some of the information they're coming out with is not really that good. And people need to start using their own discernment with this information. And I'd say the same about myself. You know, don't believe everything I say. And if I say something that's wrong, email me and tell me. I'm big enough and, I'm happy enough to change my mind. If you have the information that if I'm wrong, you know, I don't have any problems doing that at all. So anyway, before we get on, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, folks, you know the website is circleofwhitelight.com, and I'm on patreon.com/COWLR, and also you can find PayPal on the website there. My mind has gone 100 miles an hour at the moment. There's a lot going through it. So, but there you go. You can find us there. Thanks to everybody who donates to the website there. You know that we do part of the allocation of the donations to worthy causes. And last week we did the donation to the local men's shed. And if you pop over to the Pay It Forward on the website and click on June 2021, you'll see Barry there with the check saying thank you for the donation to the men's shed, because they recently got evicted by a certain committee who will remain nameless. And it was really unfair. And there was a kind of an agenda behind it. So a bit of support for the men's shed to help them out there for their to focus on their new shed, which they're working on now at the moment. So a big thank you to everybody who donates. And we'll be speaking to the PIF team this week and looking at what the donation will be for the month of July. So we'll be talking about that. Anyway, a couple of things that I want to go through before we bring Patricia on. I have a photo here of a whole group of school kids with two school teachers. And I thought it was very interesting. It says here, a teacher at an elementary school in SC wanted to help little boys with no dad at home. So he started a gentleman's club where these little guys dress up and learn to shake hands, make eye contact, etc. He even has extra jackets and ties for boys who can't afford them. And all the boys are dressed up with ties and shirts, and they're learning to be a gentleman. What a brilliant idea. Fair play to that teacher for doing that. Bringing the guys up to be respectful and to be a gentleman. You know, now we know that when it comes to the dating side, they always say the women like a bit of the bad guy, you know, or maybe they have had the bad guy in their life and you want the good guy after they've had the bad guy. So that's a controversial subject in itself, which we won't go there. But these guys are going to be brought up with manners and everything else. So it's really good to see. Now, I'm going to be jumping a little bit on my soapbox, and I'll probably be talking to Patricia about this when I bring her in a minute. But during the week, I seen a vegetarian spiritual person on the net telling people that if you eat meat, you will not ascend and your frequency will stay low. And in all honesty, I find this to be complete and utter rubbish. You know, it's integrity, character and service to others that count, not what you eat. It's not what goes into the man or woman that defines them, but what comes out of them. So maybe these spiritual gurus should ask the Native American Indians if eating meat lowered their frequency or stopped their ascension. Do I agree with how the animals are slaughtered? No, of course not. I hoped I'd find a better, more humane way to do it in the future. Each to their own. I don't push meat eating on vegetarians, so I expect the same respect from vegetarians. When myself and Steve did OIM for years and years and years, 9 years, whatever, me and Steve never had an issue with that. Steve was a vegetarian, I am a carnivore. It never came up. We never had an issue with it. It never bothered us at all. And that's the way it should be. Each to their own. But when you have spiritual gurus trying to push the whole you won't descend or your frequency will stay low if you eat meat. On OIM, we interviewed a doctor called Terry Walls. And Terry Walls was a medical doctor and she had MS. And she was a vegetarian for 20 years. And with all her research that she's done, and obviously, I can say cured, she's a medical doctor, cured her MS or 95% back to normal. She went back to eat meat because she realised that there are proteins in meat that her body needed that she wasn't getting. Now, maybe there's some people that can be a vegetarian and don't need these proteins and other people do need them. You know, I'm sure the science is out there. But it goes back to each to their own. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you respect each other's choices and leave it at that. But when you start trying to say to people or frightening people who are susceptible to turning around and saying that, oh, you're not going to ascend or your frequency is going to stay low if you keep eating meat. You know, it's rubbish. It's rubbish. And you could, I could find another 10 spiritual gurus out there who will argue the point and they'll say, no, eating meat is fine. It's nothing got to do with your frequency. So, you know, people need discernment. You need to be using your discernment. And when you listen to these people, pick out the things that resonate with you and the things that don't resonate with you, then, you know, put them to one side. Anyway, just about my week. On my Patreon post last week, I chatted about the psychology of the child mind and the ego. People go on your local social media platforms just to put a non-constructive insult on your timelines, etc., like a bully in a schoolyard calling you names, hoping that they will upset you and hurt you. This is the bully's ego at play. Don't get upset over these comments if it happens to you. A non-constructive insult is the ego of the child mind wanting to hurt you. On the other hand, the adult mind will leave a constructive comment that might be of benefit, giving an alternative viewpoint. The person having an adult mind should be able to read and decide if the constructive comment is beneficial. Again, I've talked psychologically about the adult mind and the child mind on the show many times. I've had Rachel Alexander on, who's a psychologist, and we've talked about this in depth about the child mind and the adult mind. So, at the end of the day, you know, when people start leaving insulting comments on your timeline of social media, just treat them like a child, like a child trying to hit you back because their ego is bruised and you want to get back. And, you know, just, you know, don't rise to it. Right, I'm going to bring my guest in. Right, Patricia is a native of San Francisco Bay Area. Patricia is a world-renowned author, public speaker and activist for the rights of human beings and animals, a warrior for planet Earth. A proven psychic and sensitive, she has explored mysticism, philosophy, ancient civilizations, metaphysical healing, spiritually and unexplained mysteries, and teaches on these subjects to enthralled audiences around the world. For over two decades, she has cut a path through the ambiguity of established thought, describing herself as a conspiracy realist. She is considered a luminary of these times, and her work is embraced for its dedication to challenging the status quo and opening new vistas of human awareness. She is a prominent figure in the spirit community, well known on the international lecture circuit, actively offering courses, seminars and workshops internationally on a vast range of topics which reflect her broad knowledge of alternative methodology in healing and her remarkable gift of helping others rekindle and ignite the flame of power within us all. Patricia has been recognised and celebrated as a gifted shaman by indigenous spirit teachers of the Tibetan, Mayan and Peruvian traditions, and has been embraced by the shamans of the Palaki as one of the four spirit guardians of that sacred site. In 1996, she established the Lightworks Travel Club Soul Quest Journeys, and that year led a group of spiritual travellers to Nepal and Tibet, to whom she introduced the sacred temples and breathtaking spirit of the Tibetan landscape. She has since guided people through sacred sites in Asia, Mexico, Egypt, Europe, Peru, the crop circles in England, and dolphin swims in the Azores to contemplate the potential of interspecies interaction and their heightened sensitivity to the world that surrounds us. In every case, she has opened the portals and helped people experience the other side of the veil. Her books, The Syrian Revelations, published by North Atlantic Books, have enjoyed worldwide acclaim as wake-up call material for the expanding consciousness of humankind, and are considered must-have reading for a global audience of seekers. Her latest, The New Syrian Revelations, brings her eager readers new galactic visions upon our current events and the great shift on the way. To learn more about her courses, workshops and speaking engagements, go to www.patriciacurry.com. Good evening, Patricia. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you? It's nice to be back with you, Alan.
Great stuff. Well, listen, thanks a lot for having me on your show, which is on video. I'm not a fan of video, you know, face for radio, voice for print. But, you know, you had me on and we had a bit of a natter, and we try and fix the world in the period of time. So, we had a good chat, and then thanks for coming back on, and we're going to try and do the same tonight. But I want to touch on the subject. We had a quick talk about it before we went live, and I think we need to try and get people to start focusing on their own discernment and what resonates with them, and not believing everything. Because I made the statement there. Now, I know you're a vegetarian, Patricia, and I'd like your take on what I said there, because, you know, just, you know, what's your feeling about it?
Okay, first of all, yes, I'm a vegetarian, although in moments of duress, for example, recently I had horrific food poisoning, and the only thing I could get down my throat was chicken soup. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't believe in fanaticism. And I think that it's important to have balance in your life, number one. Number two, vegetarianism versus a meat diet is an extremely personal thing. It is a commitment to a lifestyle that for many is very, very difficult. And there are several factors. For example, for me, there are many reasons why I'm a vegetarian. First of all, I can't bear the idea of an animal being massacred for food. Mm. Secondly, I don't want that vibration in my body because I'm a very compassionate psychic. Third, I enjoy vegetables because, you know, I'm an Italian. We all naturally have a very vegetable-based diet in many ways. And, you know, to hear someone say that, as you said, that you won't ascend if you're not a vegetarian, I find this really ridiculous. For starters, the person who sits in judgment of another person has not acquired the basic humanity to be talking about ascension to begin with. What every person does, as long as they're not harming anyone else, is their business. At least it used to be before we became the prisoners of Zenda with the vid.
Yeah.
But, you know, what you choose to do, I mean, I have in my lifetime talked to people about vegetarianism and the benefits of it. But I have always said, in the end, it's a decision that only you can make.
Mm.
And there are many decisions that only we can make about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Right? For example, whether or not to let them jab you or not. In the case of what you're going to eat in your life, I mean, it's a very, very personal thing. And the judgment call to me, I don't know who this person was, but there are plenty of them out there. To me, anyone who tells you that you will or not, or will or will not go to heaven or hell, you will or will not ascend, all of this positioning, which is reminiscent of the past, control mechanisms, people who want to control other people, this is not an enlightened person, and I wouldn't give it any weight. Let me just add this. If somebody says, I'd like to share with you my reasons for proposing that you attempt a vegetarian diet, and you're willing to listen to those reasons, maybe you can learn something. Like I learned that how the animal is slaughtered determines how tough the meat is. That's when I stopped being a meat eater. When I went to the butcher in Italy and I complained about the quality of the meat, and he said, well, senora, it depends on how the kill was. And a veil lifted off my eyes. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, the more the animal suffers, the more adrenaline goes into the meat. That was it. Right?
Yeah.
That was my experience. It was like the thing that made me say, yeah, I don't think I want any more of this in my body. Hmm. But again, for somebody to tell me that I don't rate or that I don't qualify or I'm not, you know, on Jacob's ladder to heaven, if I do, that is completely extraneous to any subject, any discussion of spirituality, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's two issues here. One, you know, the whole idea of eating meat, and two, how the meat is actually slaughtered. And as I say, I disagree with the methods that it's and how it's done. It was explained to me during the week. I was speaking to a member of the PIF team, and she told me that her brother worked in as a butcher in Germany, and part of their training before they become a butcher is they have to work in the slaughterhouse. And then she went into more detail what was involved with that. And I agreed with her. I said, I don't like it's inhumane the way the animals are being slaughtered. But at the end of the day, there's, when you listen to the likes of Dr. Terry Walls, who was a vegetarian for 20 years and a medical doctor, and she said there are things in the meat that your body needs. And maybe I'm on a journey like other people are on a journey, and there'll be a trigger moment for me, and I'll turn around and I'll go, you know what, I'm not going to eat any meat anymore. And that time for me hasn't come yet, but it could be just around the corner. And I think that's what happens, people. You had your trigger moment, other people have their trigger moment. And when we hit that trigger moment, I suppose it's a bit like the waking up process. When we wake up and realize what's going on and the way the world has been manipulated, once the penny drops, then you can't unlearn what you've learned. And maybe that's the case with the whole idea of being a vegetarian and the meat eating. But my concern is that there are spiritual people out there, these gurus, there's people who have, who maybe have a low self-esteem, and they invest their time with these people. They see them as saviors. And so they follow them, and they follow everything they say. And by doing that, they're not employing their own discernment and saying, hang on a minute, that doesn't resonate with me. This is the problem. So these people are out there and they're talking about this and doing their YouTube videos. And I listen to quite a few people just to get an overview, because I do a radio show. I want to get an overview of what's being said and what resonates with me and things don't. But when you're saying things like that, you know, about, oh, you're not going to ascend and your frequency is going to go low, stay low because you're eating meat, I'm sorry, but that is complete and utter tripe and rubbish. And people need to be aware that there seems to be now more than ever, seems to be a lot more of these people around. You know, everybody's saying, oh, don't believe them, believe me, and I've got the information, I've got the path to heaven, and you have to follow me. And by the way, send me loads of money as well at the same time. You know, there's too many of them people out there, and there are gullible people who will follow them without using a bit of discernment and going, hang on a minute, this doesn't sound right to me. And that concerns me. And as I said at the start of the show, if anything, don't even believe what I say. Go and challenge what I say. And if I'm saying the wrong thing, send me an email and And then, you know, if you've got the story and it's the right story, then I'll come out and say it on the show. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I don't have an issue. I've dealt with my ego a long time ago. So I don't have any issues doing that and saying, yeah, I got that wrong. Here's the real information. I don't have a problem with that. But there seems to be a lot of these gurus out there. And for people who are vulnerable, who are following them and listening to this stuff, they might end up doing themselves harm. Now, you have a story regarding the vaccine. And I think people should listen to this, because this is, again, another issue of this kind of guru and people following the wrong information. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yes. But before I do, I just want to make a comment on what you've said. And that is that, with the advent of social media, combined with the lockdown where people have no contact with each other anymore, people are moving into these positions of power with YouTube and these other vehicles to reach the public. And you can make any claim you want. I mean, you know, I'm a channel, I'm a psychic, I'm a visionary. One person who's pretty famous talks about she has these prophetic dreams. And it's like, hold on a minute here. Hold on a minute. I want the other to be empowered. I have nothing to gain from taking somebody's power away, right?
Yeah.
For my work has always been about empowering the other. And that's why when people say, you know, I'm a great writer, or I'm a great this, or a great that, great healer, I always say, thank you very much, but I'm only a vehicle for you. You're the one. Source is what you're trying to reach. And if I can be a conduit, great. That's all it is, right? Mm. And so when people give, you know, buy into this mountain of stuff that's out there, bearing in mind also that people are scrambling for something to believe in, because we know the media is complete BS. We know the social media is full of chaos. People have no contact to talk to anybody anymore. And the divide in the public is so incredibly intense that people are negating their families now based on the vid. They won't speak to their family. They don't have the vax, and this drama playing out. So, you know, in kindness to the people that are jumping on the bandwagon of following someone that may not be a truth giver, let's also remember that people are lost. There's just, we don't have the freedom to hug each other, to talk to each other. And so we're stuck with some of these rather nefarious vehicles, because you can be anybody you pretend to be on social media. You can say anything you want to say, as long as you don't get shut off because of the censors. And so, yes, people need to be extremely clear that what they're getting may not be the truth, and that the first thing they want to look for is, very simply, does this person empower you to make your own decisions? Does this person say things like, in my opinion or my understanding? No, most of them are saying, look, I know the truth. This is the truth, and period. And I've had a lot of debate with some of these leading psychics who say, sorry, Patricia, but I know the truth. And I say, well, you know the truth as you understand it. I know the truth as I understand it. That doesn't mean that either one of us has an absolution here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that said, I've been putting out some information about the vax, and people have been writing to me and telling me some of their stories. And one of them was this woman who said she went to her acupuncturist, which would be an alternative healer that has to have serious medical training to know the meridians of the body, whatever. So an acupuncturist who laid her on the table and started putting in the needles and said, I'm feeling your energy meridians, so I can be able to tell you which vax is best for you. I was dumbfounded. You're going to an alternative healer and they're proposing not only that you have the vax, but that they have the ability, their ability with their needles and their, I guess, psychic interpretation of your energy meridians will determine, according to them, which of the deadly poisons you should take. This is what we've come to. And another one who said she went to a psychic, and the psychic said the vax, she's getting messages from her channel that the vax is absolutely important and good. There's no harm. She should take it right away. And Hare Krishna, right?
Yep.
And so I remained just dumbfounded by this, because we have as much information as we need from qualified, and you know them all too. I think you had Dr. Sherry Tenapenny on your show. Didn't you? Did you have Dr. Tenapenny?
Yes, she was on 2 weeks ago.
Okay. You know, we're talking about people with major, major qualifications. Dolores Cahill from Ireland, Del Bigtree, Robert Kennedy, bringing out all this absolute scientific information. And you're going to let a psychic tell you that it's absolutely okay? Is there an agenda there? And how many people are going to have the vax because of that psychic and people like her?
Yeah.
And that's why, going back to our conversation on my show, I was questioning Trump, who suddenly is coming out, get your shot, get your shot, get your shot. And I was saying, no matter how much you adore Trump, anybody, anyone who is saying that you need to get this, it's good for you, does not have your highest good, in my humble opinion.
Definitely.
In their heart.
You know what? It's like I would test like a person who's into nutrition. And, you know, when you, like, for example, there is a company out there who watch your weight. I won't say the name of the company, but they watch your weight, and you can join them and they'll help you watch your weight. And my sister actually joined a couple of years ago, and they told her to go out and get the zero diet Coke because of the, you know, the low calories. And of course, that's packed full of aspartame.
Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't believe it. I said, these people are telling you to put poison in your body, and they don't even realize they're doing it. But, you know, one of the things that was said in the chat room here, and I was going to say it as well, was we are all our own saviors. There's no saviors out there. There's no savior going to be coming saving you. We are our saviors. We have to stand up and save ourselves. Every single one of us. There's no guru out there going to save you. We have to save ourselves. And we have to step up and get involved and be part of that for the change to take place. And I think there's a lot of people out there that, well, I always call it the little red hen principle, where they want somebody else to do it because I can't be bothered. You, he'll do. He's my savior. I'll follow him and or her or whatever, and they're going to be my savior because I can't be bothered doing it. You know, there's something on TV there. I want to watch something on TV. And unfortunately, I call that the little red hen principle. And we are our own saviors. And when people start realizing that we have to do the work ourselves, meditation, I'm sure, I like meditating every now and again. I do it every now and again. It's nice and relaxing and, you know, things like that. So, but whatever takes your fancy, whatever puts you into a good zone, that kind of, you know, there's a lot of negative energy around, and there's a lot of people struggling with what's going on. There's a lot of energies hitting the planet. The human frequency is off the charts. You know, the energy is coming in there. And that's, again, that's provable. And it's just a concern when I see people telling people to do things that would potentially affect them or upset them or cause a problem, you know, because as much as I can only give out information of what I come across. And maybe what I said maybe 2 years ago has been overruled or changed since then. But I only know what I know now. Tomorrow, as we say with the fluid belief system, we might have something come in tomorrow that will contradict what I know today. But when you have a fluid belief system, it doesn't matter because your ego is taken out of the equation and you just change with the new information. It doesn't bother you. And this is why myself and Steve have done seminars talking about the fluid belief system, because it's all based on psychology. You know, it's all based on how we think, how we act. And that's why it's important that we should be challenging, always challenging every part of our belief system, regardless of what it is, because that's healthy. And the other thing is that, I'll just throw in, you know, our ego stops us from stepping outside our comfort zone. you know, when we're just about to do something, that when we step outside the comfort zone, it's that chatter in our mind. That's their ego going, oh, don't do that, don't do that. You won't like that. That's going to be uncomfortable. Stay in your comfort zone. That's where you should be. Stay there. But it's only when we step outside our comfort zone is that's when we start learning. You know, that's really when we start learning, and when we keep stepping outside and challenging our belief systems and doing things that go against what we feel comfortable with. And this is why, you know, a previous guest, Rachel Alexander, the psychologist, she was part of being involved in the book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And that's important. And I think, Patricia, from a spiritual point of view, I'm sure you'll agree that, you know, you can only deal with what you know today, and you're dealing with spiritual information coming in all the time. But maybe down the line, things might change, because we are in a kind of changeable world, and spiritually things are changing on a regular basis. I don't know whether you've come across any information that you kind of question now that you might have been told a couple of years ago.
Oh, probably. The point is that if you get yourself locked into, you talked about belief systems, and the worst thing you can do is get yourself locked into a belief system and dig your heels in with what you believe is truth or good or bad or all these judgment calls. Because in the bottom line, like you said, being fluid means actually it's a sign of intelligence and awareness. To stay fluid and recognize that there is no across the board one way to do anything, to perceive anything. There's a constantly changing reality that right now that we're in that defies anything that resembles logic, right? Mm-hmm. I personally think it's because we're in the fourth dimension and the matrix seems to be in a meltdown, but that's a little metaphysical for where we are in the conversation. But nonetheless, that you feel like your belief system is challenged. Great. Let it be challenged. Let's challenge it. Let's release it. Let's unlock the blocked mind that says, I know the one way this, or if somebody tells you, I can show you the only way. Rather, you know, look at our world. Who would have thought 2 years ago or 16 months ago that these would be the parameters of humankind at this time? Mm. It's unthinkable.
Yeah.
So whatever you believed 14 months ago, 16 months ago is probably garbage compared to what you believe now. That in itself shows you that the only way that you can manage the matrix reality is to keep reinventing, keep reexamining, keep shifting and changing with the input that you receive. And to do that, you have to be in a mindset of discerning what feels right to you, for you. And that if it's not right for somebody else, it's not your job to convince them. These are the aspects that I think are very important now. Nobody should be trying to tell me what to eat, to do, or whatever.
Yeah.
You can certainly tell me why you do it. I'm open to that because I'm not locked in. Just like I have friends that are meat eaters, and when they come to dinner, I make meat for them. I'm not a fanatic that I can't have even the meat in the pan.
Yeah,
you know, if they really have to have meat, I'll make meat for them. It's not going to affect my reality, right? Because it's not going into my body where I don't want the meat.
Yeah. No, totally. But, totally. Agree. Yeah. No,
it's so important that we relax a little bit here and take, you know, time to, you and I've talked over and over again about being grounded and spiritually grounded. And it really starts with accepting who you are, what you're trying to understand about reality, about life, and that you're the sovereign being and you can listen to any number of people, but you don't have to embrace what they say.
Mm, yeah.
You certainly don't have to let them in any way make you feel inferior or beholden because of their belief system being imposed upon you, for God's sakes.
Mm. I know, but there are people who are susceptible to these people, and, you know, maybe they have an issue with discernment. and they just can't do it. And because I suppose people are also, everybody's looking for the answer. Everybody wants to know what's going on. And we're no different. I mean, I want to know what's going on. I want to know what the truth is, because we've been lied to for so long. And so many lies. You just kind of love to turn around and go, just tell us what the bloody truth is, rather than more lies coming out. But I think over time, as we kind of develop and grow and see through all the BS that's going on there, more and more, I think, for me, I think you have to kind of break it down and try and keep it simple. As you say, the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid. You know, I think the highest emotion is love. That sounds, might sound corny to some people, but it is. For me anyway, the highest emotion is love, and that's it. Everything else is just, well, you know, wherever the question is, the answer is going to be love anyway. Because that's such a high emotion, and that's what they're trying to destroy, from my point of view, from what I'm seeing. They're trying to destroy the family. Because the family is the core of everything, you know, relationships and that energy that you get in a relationship. And this is what they're trying to destroy. And, you know, also people have reported that when they've got the vaccine, that they've lost connection with God. Now, I don't know what that means, or I don't know what that feels like, but this is what some people have said. And we know that there's a bigger picture with what's going on. I think there's so many people out there that start questioning, saying, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. You think, well, have you looked beyond the vaccine for the agenda? Or are you just looking at that little part in isolation, and you're forming your opinion on that so little of, just a little bit of information, rather than seeing the bigger agenda of what's behind it?
Most people are completely incapable of understanding the big picture of what's behind it, because they've been so mind controlled for so long. They, for example, in America, I don't know what the percentage is, but there's a huge abuse of mind altering pharmaceuticals, not to mention illegal drugs. So I personally believe that this has been deliberate, not only for the profit from Big Pharma and the drug racket, but also to prepare a civilization for the kind of takeover that we're seeing now, by wearing them down, by getting them so hooked on mind-altering drugs that you can implant all kinds of thoughts, and they're just vulnerable, more vulnerable than some others of us who don't take anything, who don't let it into our bodies, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And so, you know, when you've got an agenda, for example, the mind control of this program, the program of the vax, and the whole storyline of the vid. I'm trying to use a little bit of coding here. And we've got a population of people that are already in mind-altered states because they daily imbibe in even alcohol. I mean, we've got real substance abuse problems on this planet worldwide, right?
Yeah.
And so they're prepared. This has been done deliberately. They're prepared to receive the implanted messages because their minds are altered.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, from your perspective, because you're in tune with certain energies and certain spiritual beings, from your, obviously, your bio and what we know before you've done interviews with us, what have you tuned in, what have you picked up on, and what feedback are you getting back?
Well, I mean, as far as higher dimensional beings observing this planet, I mean, imagine us in a Star Trek situation, right? Where I'm trying to consider a conglomerate of enlightened humans on a spaceship in space, looking for planetary environments. Okay, I'm trying to do a sci-fi example here,
yeah.
But say enlightened humans traveling through space, looking for a place to land, and they get information from this planet, let's call it planet Zion, that is completely encased with weaponized satellites, that has so much noise pollution that it's penetrating the atmosphere between all of the electronics, TV, all the noise that comes out of the planet. And that when they zoom in and check it out, there's war, death, destruction, Satanism, resignation, you name it, right?
Mm. Yeah.
You interfere? Or do you say, whoa, this planet is off limits? They're not ready to be part of the Galactic Federation. Mm. You know, it's like, that's what I'm hearing. It's like the human race is still waiting, especially the people that are, let's say, awakened, are still waiting for support and participation from the community of peaceful galactic environments and planetary beings to step in. Mm. But the bottom line is, do we deserve it, but do we not have to rise up to some vibratory frequency where they can resonate with that? I mean, that keeps being the question, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, again, it's all about, they talk about the raising our frequency and this change in frequency. Now, I know Dolores Cannon, I don't know what I said that when I was on your show, Patricia. Dolores Cannon said that, you know, in 4D, you have to see the dirt before you tidy up. And she, you know, obviously this is what I feel, where we are in this kind of space now, or this frequency, if you want to call it 4D, where all this information is coming to the surface. And I'm seeing more and more videos of mainstream media coming out and exposing and talking about things that are going on. And like, I'm still, even after 11 years of doing radio, I'm still, you know, hoping to get guests on, as I do with yourself and other guests, to get their opinion on how they see the world and what their take is on it. You know, like, I'm still learning. I'm still the same person I was 11 years ago with a microphone, just trying to find out what's going on and, you know, trying to piece all the, put the jigsaw together and put the pieces together, and trying to get people's opinions on it. But, you know, I don't know whenever we'll get to a place where we'll know the truth for sure. I hope we do. But I'm sure, you know, as you said, we're in 4D. Are you seeing a lot of this now with energy changes, people experiencing certain things with the frequencies coming in? I don't, you know, saying ascension symptoms sounds very woo-woo, but people are saying that they've got, you know, aches and pains and all this kind of stuff and headaches and vivid dreams and things like that happening to them. And more and more things are happening. And maybe we are on this seesaw at the moment where we win some space and they win some space. And this is the 4D which we're on at the moment. There's so many different opinions and takes out there. And I know we're all on a path of knowledge, and some people are further down the road than others. And that's fine, because some people have been doing this a lot longer than other people. It's only natural that you'd probably have more research done, you know, 20 years compared to, say, 5 years. But at the end of the day, you know, unless you have first-hand experience and you're involved with what's going on, you can only kind of put the pieces together of what you know and still kind of just form an opinion. And I don't see it being a problem giving an opinion or just saying to people, look, for what it's worth, here's my opinion. I could be wrong, but here's my opinion based on the information that I've researched. I think people get very touchy sometimes when you say, well, look, I'm just giving you my opinion. And they'll attack you because, even though it's your opinion, and you think, well, are you saying that I can't even give my opinion now? And that's what I think people are getting too hypersensitive over certain things, and it stops conversation.
Yeah, well, then there's also trendy belief systems like this whole ascension symptom trend. It's like, we've always had body aches, we've always had headaches, we've always had these things, but suddenly it's very trendy for these things to be called ascension symptoms, right?
Yeah.
And like everything else, I invite people to just try to get down, and I don't mean energetically down, but grounded their feet on the ground a minute. And right, before we start buying into all of this information highway, it's like, I there are a lot of people with very valid opinions out there, and there's a lot of BS, right?
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, what of all these immense pieces of information, what makes sense to the everyday experience of being alive on this planet? Get out of your head a little bit is what I tell people. Try to get out of your head a little bit. Try to get out of the ascension. Try to get out of the 5G hype. And do you smell the flowers? Do you walk by the ocean? When you leave this planet, will you have had a wonderful experience? Because you came here for a reason. And whatever that process is going to be that we think is ascension or the earth evolution or the apocalypse, because anything's possible when you say, I just want the truth. The truth can be multifaceted, right? But in the very end, what matters, what really matters is how do you walk your life every day?
Yeah.
Are you able to see beauty? Are you able to laugh despite whatever is being played out? Or is it a constant mind game or, you know, quest and so many of these aspects of that we call seeking or ascension or whatever are starting to limit people rather than expand them. This means it's an ascension symptom. This means this. This means that. Hold on a minute. I don't know if I'm making sense here because I think I've kind of like gone full circle in my point. Well, but what I'm trying to say is, you know, in the end, all this information is great, but if it only serves to make you more confused or to be disempowered and unhappy, then toss it and get back to a walk in the forest, digging your feet into the sand, a swim in the ocean, smelling a flower, the laughter of a baby. And let's get back to just loving being alive, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I think it's important to, I think in the early days when I was doing radio, we would read something or look at information and it would have either a positive or negative effect on us. And then we changed to the fact that, no, actually, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to treat it as information. That's all. It's on the fence. It's just information. It's not negative or positive. It's just information because we didn't want to have the emotional effect from the information affecting us. So we just went neutral and we said we put it on the fence. And I agree with you that, you know, you have to be able to, again, we go back to discernment, but we need to pull back and look at our lives and, you know, what are we, maybe what are we achieving or what are we doing in our own lives? You know, I had a bit of a epiphany during the week and I was thinking about elderly relatives in my own family and they're getting on in their age at the moment. And the one thought that came to my mind, I kind of said, when I get to their age, you know, touch wood, if I get to their age, you know, I want to be able to look back and say, what have I achieved in my life and how many people are, have I helped people or have I done things in my life to benefit people, either directly or indirectly? And that way, if I have, then I feel I will have achieved some kind of goal for me being on this planet for that short period of time. And maybe people might see it different and they might think, well, they've no interest in what I've just said and they see things differently. And that's fine. And this is just my own internal monologue in my mind saying, when I get to a certain age, have I done something to make a difference to somebody or people in my life? And that just thought came to me during the week. As I say, it was more like in a monologue, having elderly family, and everybody's different. Everybody will, you know, because they always say when you get older you look back at your life and they say, do you have any regrets and all that kind of stuff as well. And I'm sure, you know, everybody does to a certain extent, but I don't know, I mean, does that resonate with you, Patricia, or does that sound like rubbish?
No, that does resonate with me, although, you know, sometimes we can think altruistically that we have a mission or something important to do in life. And many people do. Many people have important missions. But in the end, as you said, when you look back over your life, I just think of it this way. Did I bring joy? Did I represent joy for people? When I entered the room, did they feel love and laughter? And did I in some way affect their life for the better? And will I be remembered for that? Because if I'm remembered for that, it's not my ego wanting to be remembered, but rather it's just the knowing that it means that in some way I contributed to that person's life. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But also the nature of being at one with yourself, being at peace in your life, being able to feel joy and laugh and be one with animals and children or whatever, it's the starting place. So if you're racing around in your mind trying to get to the truth and know the outcome and all this mental hype, you sort of get away from the importance of being alive.
Yeah.
We get so mental, as we've never been so mental as we are as a civilization now, because we have no contact with each other other than through electronics. They're just ruling our lives deliberately. We've been put into place where you work from home, you talk from home, all of it through the computers. Because, of course, that's where they want to take us, is when we no longer have bodies, right? We're just computer chips. But in the meantime, we do have beautiful bodies, and we do still have a beautiful planet. And it's so important not to let that be taken away and not to strip ourselves of the joy of touching a leaf or watching a baby bird take its first flight, because we're mental about finding the truth and analyzing this and that and the other thing. And what does ascension mean? And what does this mean? And let's not lose sight of the nowness of life, because that is our humanity.
Yeah. The here and now, chasing something rather than focusing on what we're doing now. And one kind of statement which I've said before, I think on the show a few years ago, sometimes we're so busy trying to focus on the next thing, we don't look back at the things we've achieved in our lives. You know, we're so busy, what's the next thing? We have to work on the next thing now. And we don't stop and pause and go, actually, let's have a look of what I've achieved or what you've done in your life over the period of time. And again, service to others, you know, if that's something that floats your boat and that's what you're interested in doing and you're vibrating on that frequency, then happy days. Again, each to their own. It really is each to their own. I'm not going to preach to anybody. You are who you are. You do what you do. And you are responsible for you as a sovereign. And, you know, and you, because, you know, that's the way it is. There's nobody going to be turned around and, you know, pointing fingers.
As long as you don't do harm to others.
Yeah, I mean, a common law applies.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, if you want to be a complete anything, you don't want to, I mean, as long as you're not hurting anyone else, you are free to be who you are. Yeah. If you start interfering with someone else or hurting someone else, bringing them down, then there's an issue.
Well, this goes into the child mind and the adult mind, which myself and Steve have talked about. The child mind is the selfishness and the ego, and the adult mind is humility and wisdom. And the problem is that, you know, the child mind doesn't necessarily mean that you have a child. You know, it's all got to do with kids. The child mind is a state of mind, and you could be 80 years old. I had an elderly aunt who was in her 80s who had a child mind, and you might meet somebody who's 21 who'll have an adult mind. And as you, because I always go back, you know, when we first started this journey about trying to educate people about, you know, what was going on, you kind of, you know yourself, the typical, oh, here's information about chemtrails and all this. And they go, oh, get lost, you're a conspiracy theorist. And we knew that this wasn't working. It just wasn't the way to go. So we put together what we call the fluid belief system, which is based on psychology. And we've had some great success with people applying the psychology of how the mind works when their belief system is challenged. And I will always go back to that. And, you know, it's great having Rachel Alexander on as well, as she's a psychologist, and we've gone through it. And I think we all go down the road about pushing the information and stuff. And I don't know about you, Patricia, I've kind of given up on it now. I don't really waste my time anymore. You know, it depends on the individual and if they're asking a question. You know, if they want to know about it, I'll happily talk to them about it. But I'm not going down the road of trying to wake people up. I think I've done with that. I'm done with that. And I don't know about you, because the whole idea for me now is just focusing on the people who want to know more and who are open-minded and who want to get more information about what's going on and are willing to challenge their belief system. And if it's fluid, all the better. And they're kind of the people that I want to resonate with, because I think the choice has been made regarding the people who are going to be staying in the Matrix. If I'm calling it that because people will probably go, oh, you shouldn't call it the Matrix. Well, look, I'm calling it that because it's easier. It's just a point of reference. And get the vaccines rather than the people who are outside the Matrix and not getting the vaccines. So I don't know whether you've made that conscious decision to not really go and start waking people up and just focusing on the people who are awake.
Yeah, well, I have a significant following. And most of these people are absolutely clear, bright, and open and receptive. And I like to keep a beautiful field of dialogue going. And my mantra to people is, we don't have to agree on everything, but there has to be respect for the other. So my website, my channels, everything I've got are about keeping a forum going where we're free to agree and disagree. We don't have to be in hive mind in any given belief system, but respect for the other. And if that respect isn't there, they get kicked off immediately. And I just don't have the energy to try. Somebody recently wrote to me, why don't you convince me of your position on the vax? And I wrote back and I said, sweetheart, I am not the person that needs to convince you of anything. Why don't you convince yourself what you need to do?
Yeah, I totally agree. I had the same. Somebody said, well, show me your evidence. And I say, look, to be honest with you, I'm not going to be showing you any evidence. You are where you are and you understand, this is what you believe, then that's up to you. Now, there is a question here. It's more of a statement that was made, a comment on the chat room. And Critical Ali said, the biggest question is, what gives me or you the right to wake anybody else up? Everybody is exactly where they're meant to be, perhaps. Well, it's not about pushing anything. We care. That's why we're trying to wake people up. We're not trying to force anything on people. We are maybe empathetic and we care about what these people are trying to do to our friends and family, and we're trying to help give them information to say, look, keep an open mind. Here's the other side of the argument, because there's always two sides to the argument. And if you only listen to one side, which is what's happening today, I feel, with the vaccine, all the media is pushing, get the vax. But I'm saying to people, well, does the other side of the argument, does the other side saying don't get the vax because it does an issue with it. It's not a vaccine. It's an experimental drug. And maybe you should look at this information also. And then when you look at both sides of the argument, then make a decision with both sides of the argument. And if you still want to get the vax when you have both sides, that's fine. But don't go in, half-cocked with just one side of the argument. And then when you get it and realize that you were lied to, then, you get all upset. And, people might say, well, why didn't somebody tell me or whatever? So it's because we care. It's not we're not pushing an agenda. Well, I don't feel we're pushing an agenda. I think in the early days, all we were trying to do was give people the information so they could make an informed choice before they make a decision. And so that's what I think anyway.
And especially that I really appreciate your integrity, and I feel that I have integrity. So in the years that I've been bringing information out, it's never been I have the answer and you don't, so follow me and listen to me because I'm going to wake you up. It's just like, this is the agenda that I understand unfolding, and this is the information that I'd love you to consider as a thinking individual, right? Like you said.
Yeah.
And that is not trying to act like a guru and push people into any belief system, but it's just like somebody has to represent the other side of this drama, of this dream spell.
Yeah.
And so some of us are out here doing that, and I don't feel like I'm trying to push awareness or awakening on anyone. I'm just trying to be the pole to the other side of this dream spell, which is a term that has been used of late. that's being woven by the masters of darkness on this planet. And so, you know, my work is to keep sharing what I understand to be the other side of that story.
Yeah, totally. And then
hopefully people having enough material. And, you know, it's been my experience that people have said, I never would have understood this if I hadn't read what you wrote, which is, you know, doesn't get me in the ego. It's just a sense of joy that some of the things that I'm sharing are helping people look further, get their own information.
And that's great. And that's the way it should be. We should be always challenging, again, going back to challenging our belief. And you're giving them a kind of information to help them explore that side. That's brilliant. You know, that's the way it should be, I think. I know Steve mentioned on the chat room there that, you know, there are some people we all know that should never be woken up, or we should never give them this information because they're just not capable of taking it in, or they're not ready for it. And I think we can all agree. We all have our, you know, Auntie Pat and our Uncle John or whatever, that, you know, you'll talk about the weather and everything else, but you don't really go down that road because they're just not tuned in to that kind of level of information. And I think we can all accept that.
And I think it takes a little bit of savvy to recognize that, you know, there's no point in creating fissures in your relationships because you're trying to get a point across.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a certain amount of finesse and sensitivity to other people and how locked in they are to their program. And it's just not worth it to try to harm or damage a relationship for it.
Yeah, definitely. And
you know, always boils down to who is willing to listen. This is what I have to share. If you're willing to listen, great. If you can't be bothered, also great. I don't need to be condemned because it doesn't resonate with you. Just go, you know, just back off. Just tune out.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people are going through this issue at the moment regarding the vaccine. So it's not even got to do with the information of the agenda and what's behind it. But now there's the falling out of family members because some people are getting vaccinated and others aren't. And, you know, I mean, we know there's an agenda behind it. Everybody tuning in and listening on the show tonight in the chat room all know there's an agenda behind it. And it's not purely about the vaccine. Unfortunately, there are some people who will just do enough research, or they look at the vaccine in itself, or the research may consist of just the BBC or Sky or maybe 5 minutes on the internet. And so there's a double whammy. So the double whammy is not only trying to educate them to the agenda that's going on, but now trying to talk to them about the vaccine as well. And they're kind of being fooled by the media. It really is. We really are in a turmoil at the moment with these frequencies and this change. And I don't know how long it's we're going to be in this energy.
That, you know, people have to start to consider here is that we're already 16 or 17 months into this drama, and people are walking around mindlessly with their masks on, and people are mindlessly lining up to get their vax, and then they're being told they're going to still have to wear the mask, they're going to still have to social distance. So it's like, nope, these people, and that's about 80% of the population, aren't asking themselves, and why am I taking this vax with all the harmful effects that are being reported and not being reported, if nothing's going to change? I don't get it.
Mm.
At what point, how far are in, and I saw the G7 poor excuse for a get-together of these government officials, and now, you know, Boris is going to withdraw the easing of the restrictions. It's going to go back again. And they just keep pushing it back another month. We're going to pretty soon be into 2 years of this. And people are becoming so complacent. They're used to this mask now, right?
Well, you know what? I've said this on the show a couple of weeks ago. And what seems to be happening is that we've been so acclimatized to this lockdown, like animals kept in captivity, that what's happening is people are turning around now and going, you know what, I'm not going to go back to the social life that I had pre-COVID. So they're not doing the social things they used to do. They're not contacting the people that they used to contact
right,
pre-COVID.
They're being pre-programmed.
this is the programming again. They're changing. It's like the animal who's been in captivity for so long that they release them. They open up the shutter on the cage, and there's this big wild Serengeti in front of them, and they're looking out the actual cage, and they're kind of being very cautious, and you don't want to get out. And you know, the keepers are there saying, "Thank you for the cup of tea, much appreciated." The keepers are there saying, go on, get out. You know, there you go, you're free. Go ahead." And they're going, no, I'm scared now. You know, I'm so used to being locked away." And this is beginning. Well, once they begin, this is happening now with people, and that's kind of concerning.
And it's like, you know, what more powerful control over the planet can you have than a compliant, obedient population that is doing it to themselves?
Yeah, they're very insular. They got very insular into themselves.
I mean, we don't have the police coming to your door and saying, "Come with us. We're going to vaccinate you and put you in a cell." No, it's just like, "Oh, don't come near me. I just don't want your germs." And so, you know, the mask, the plastic visors, the gloves, you know, this has been self-imposed isolation and imprisonment. They're having a big laugh over it. Did you see the pictures of "for the cameras, not for the cameras" of the G7?
Yeah, I did see it. And the gas thing is that they're going down to have a meeting in the G7 about, you know, global warming and climate change and all that. And instead of Boris kind of taking the train down to kind of lead by example, because I'm a big believer of in management, as in the corporate world, you lead by example, he gets a plane down.
Who takes a plane to Count Cornwall? I mean, but, you know, this is the pictures for those people who haven't seen it. There's a picture circulating that has on the top, it has two frames, one of Boris with Trudeau and the other with Macron, mm-hmm. and they're giving each other, they've got masks on, and they're giving each other the elbow greeting, and they're laughing, and it's posed for the camera, right?
Yeah.
And then at the bottom, you've got two more frames of them hugging each other and having their arms around each other, and there's Macron with Biden with his, you know, their arms around each other walking along, and no masks. And the caption reads, "Not for the cameras." And
yeah.
The point is, this is just a big laugh to them.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are psychopaths. And as soon as people realize, and being manipulated. But here's the irony, Patricia. I did see a newspaper article saying that airlines in Spain and Russia are now recommending, they're not enforcing it, but they're now recommending that people who've been vaccinated shouldn't fly because...
I know, that I know, and I find that to be the ultimate irony. I just, when I read that, I laughed, and I thought to myself, okay, well, of course not, because clotting is a problem. Of course they shouldn't fly, but then what does that do for the whole passport concept?
Yeah.
You get your vaccine, you get your passport. Now you get your vaccine, you're not allowed to fly. So who's going to fly? The answer is nobody. They're going to shut down the airline industry because they don't want us, the insects, to have the liberation to travel.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting. We'll have to see what happens. Now, I know the Nuremberg trials too are in progress at the moment. There's a German lawyer over there, and he has loads of people behind him setting up Nuremberg trials too, and they're going to be taking on Davos, and those other EU groups they're going to be taking on, maybe the G7. And I hope that goes through. I hope that happens, and I hope that filters down the line to all other countries, and bit by bit these people are taken out. I know in America there's a number of states now and senators coming forward and actually going after the kind of Fauci and the whole Bill Gates and the Wuhan issue with the vaccine and the 3,000 emails that BuzzFeed put up, you know, that Fauci had. So he's been thrown under the bus, and probably Gates will be as well. So he's in hiding, apparently, Fauci. So in one way, obviously, they're trying to push out. They're trying to do the damnedest as much as they can. But in another way, obviously it's not working because we know they only have part of the plan. But I just want to speak to you about, as you speak to the Syrians and stuff like that, there's this big push on now, and you've seen it, I'm sure, about the Pentagon, and all of a sudden the Pentagon are coming out and going, yeah, we have recovered crafts, and they weren't built on the planet. And then people are going, oh, that's nice there. I'll just go over to EastEnders there. And, you know, and people just don't seem to be bothered about the fact that the Pentagon and other sources are officially coming out and saying that, yeah, there's crafts flying around and, you know, they're not ours. So what's your take on that?
Well, because it has been so many years now that this disclosure has been manipulated. It's like a big wad of clay. Right?
Yep.
And it keeps, they mold it and they remold it and they remold it and remold it until the point where people are just anesthetized. I mean, let's talk about, what was it, Bill Clinton, when he said that there could be, it looks like it's possible that there could be some ancient, bacteria. In this rock we happen to find in the middle of Tunguska, Antarctica, they happened upon a rock that they figured out was from Mars. And it had what could potentially possibly maybe be an ancient bacteria fossilized within it. All right, that was what, 30 years ago, 25, 30 years ago? And here we are today, and the Pentagon is saying, well, we actually do have some craft, but don't, you know, no adjustment of your set is necessary. People are just worn down. It's just taken so long, and they've manipulated this information for so long that, you know, there's no surprise here. The question I have is, are they going to do a false flag? Because their vaccine program doesn't seem to be hitting the mark.
No.
So many of us think that the next thing that's coming is the false flag alien attack. But my concern, and I'm not sure if you and I talked about this on my show, is what if the alien attack, which many people think is, are actually clear that this could be a potential false flag. What if instead of an attack, they stage a friendly higher being, because as you've asked me just again about that, Galactic Federation good guys that land in a craft and who are bringing information about how humankind has to step up to the civilization of galactic peaceful beings when they're really not.
Yeah.
In other words, an ultimate authority presenting itself on the Earth, sanctioned by the governments, that instead of attacking the Earth says, no, look, you know, we're here to help you. And instead are not the light beings that we think they are. So we're really in deep doo-doo here because these goons have so much control, holograms, clones, hybrids, fake craft, real craft. I mean, we were worried about discerning what a psychic says. How about discerning what's being presented to us from these sources?
Well, the technology they have is just incredible. And what I heard, and this is just my take on my research, is that what they'll do is, well, this is what they want to do. Whether they'll get it or not is another thing, because I think they are being shut down. But, you know, Wernher von Braun said the last card would be the fake alien invasion. So what I heard and my understanding of it, and again, it could be wrong, you know, it's just what I've, you know, come across, is that they will they'll use the holographic technology and they use the secret space program advanced crafts and pretend they're aliens. And then these good aliens, which won't be the good aliens, they'll be the bad aliens, will come in and save the day. And of course, people will see them as, oh, you're our saviors. You saved
That's
us.
Right.
And then they'll just pretend to be the good aliens when they're not. They're going to be the bad aliens and they're the saviors. Now, are they going to get their way? Are they going to get their Independence Day? You know, the whole holographic thing. I don't know. I've been told that the technology that they've tried to use for this technology, the holographic technology, has been shut down, which is stopping them from rolling it out. But look, then again, is that true? I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. So Again,
and I can tell you what I've been told from you know, and here we go. We were talking about not trusting channeled information. But yeah. What I've been told is that at the point when the human race is being controlled in that way, in other words, taking us into the Galactic Federation of planets falsely, that will not be tolerated.
Yeah.
But then again, the council also said it will not be tolerated when you become a danger to the beyond of your planet. That is our green light to come in. Well, where are you? Come on in. At least come on in with some help. We're not asking you to come in and save us, but how about some of this technology? How about that the light warriors on the planet get some help here?
Wow.
Because it feels like we've got, you know.
You've taken the words out of my mouth. I said that ages ago. I said, look, I don't want them to come in to fight our battle, but by God, give us, we're using water pistols against machine guns. Give exactly. us some of the tech to at least make the fight even.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm talking about lately. It's just like, we're not looking for handout. We're just looking for a hand here. We need, you know, we're down here being the spirit warriors trying to fight this monster. We need some support from the galactic beings, the light beings that help us fight this. Like you said, water pistols aren't going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the,
I'm thinking that a collective of galactic beings, light beings, or highly developed civilizations surely must be looking at what's going on planet Earth saying, hey, wait a minute here. We have to, as you just said, you know, make this an even playing field.
Exactly. And they can't even turn around and say, well, it's got to do with the Prime Directive. You think, hang on a minute, the negative ETs are not applying the Prime Directive whatsoever. So why should you? Well, we've gone past that time where that applies. You know, just come down and, you know, the key people on the planet, give them what needs to be done, show them what needs to be done, and then let us get on and do the job and do the tidy up and get it sorted. Because at the moment, you have the bully in the playground and he has all his mates around him and we're on our own, and it's the odds are just totally against us.
Well, yeah, some people will argue that actually they are using the Prime Directive because, and I'm not saying that this is true, but if you look at the satanic luciferic force field of maneuvering the human race, it's always the individual that gives away their soul. Mm. I mean, obviously they've got much more weaponry, they've got much more technology, whatever, but in the end, people who are lining up to get their shot, nobody's got a gun at their head, right?
Yeah.
This is an important point. Mm. So far, we have the fear of it, that we're going to, it's going to end up that we're forced to do it. But so far, nobody's had to, by force, take this shot. So in a way, that is honoring the Prime Directive. People are doing it to themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's self-consent. They're consenting to it themselves.
You know, when you talk about the industry and the actors and musicians that are signing these contracts in blood, they really are signing them in blood. Mm. And they're giving away their soul. They're selling their souls for whatever the, you know, I mean, whatever you think it's worth. I mean, in Canada now, they're giving kids an ice cream cone to go get their shot. In America, you get a donut or you get a lottery ticket, right?
And the homeless are getting food if they get a jab as well.
Yeah, there's all these incentives to get the jab. People don't realize that if it's good for you, this shouldn't be in play.
I don't think any time in human history has there ever been a push on from a PR point of view by pushing a pharmaceutical drug where you win a prize. If you win a prize, you get the jab or whatever. I mean, it's just gone mad. And people,
you can get a lottery ticket, you can get tickets to the baseball game, you can get a donut, a cookie, or for God's sakes.
It's and people are not kind of thinking, going, hang on a minute, what's wrong with this picture? That's not what, they're not seeing it.
And, you know, so in the question of the Prime Directive, well, you know, is your body soul worth a donut? Line on up.
Yeah.
We've got donuts.
It's a bit mad. But mind you, I was out today and I went out shopping and I couldn't believe the amount of people that were walking around outside. I can understand the shops doing what they're doing because of, you know, whatever legal reasons. But the people, the amount of people outside wearing masks was shocking in itself. And that's when I look at that, I kind of go, how are we going to do this? How are we going to sort this out? How do we wake these people up to say, look, you're wearing a mask outside and you're on your own and nobody's around you. Why are you wearing the mask?
That's right. And it the question of are they going to wake up or not is a very, very undecipherable thing, because they're so indoctrinated that they see the entire world as hostile.
Yeah. It's frightening.
To the point, even the air is hostile. I mean, here I am on this fabulous island. We have some of the best air in the world here. And there are, not everybody, but there are people walking down by the beach on the main drag with masks on. Some of them have plastic visors over the masks. Mm.
And some people...
I look at them and I feel like I'm on, you know, in a sci-fi movie.
You're in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Some people were going swimming with the masks on, and he had to put a sign on the swimming pool saying, please don't wear your mask as there could be a problem with your breathing. They had to tell them not to wear the mask. Oh, you know. Okay, we're going to go off to the questions anyway. And Steve has a question, and he said, can you ask your guest her opinion on consuming drugs, recreational cannabis, and alcohol?
Oh, boy, that'll be sure to get me in trouble with some people. let's define recreation. At a time when your body and mind and soul are under a complete attack, is escapism recreation? Is it a great idea to use artificial substance, or do you want to have complete sovereignty of mind? Excuse me, I've got the dogs doing some fighting here. Hey, girls. Okay. Hey. And, you know, again, like the psychic that said you shouldn't eat meat, it's not my call to judge other people. Yeah. But all I can say is if you become victimized by it and then feel like it's out of control, then you got a problem. If you have a couple glasses of wine with dinner, you don't have a problem. Just check yourself and ask yourself, do I need this to be okay? Or can I enjoy a joint and a glass of wine without having any addictive relationship with it? Because I think right now addiction is a bad idea, and then it's a great idea to be sovereign, clear.
Yeah.
So that's my answer. It's like, you know yourself. I know people that are completely addicted to booze and don't realize they've got a problem.
Yeah. Well, that's normally the case, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's very dangerous at a time right now when. Referring back to, hold on. Sorry, I've got a new puppy and they play and it gets out of hand. At a time right now where there is nothing more important than being clear that you are a sovereign being, check yourself as far as recreational diversions that take you away from being in your integrity and being grounded and solid and clear. That's my approach. I'm Italian. When I have company, I don't drink alone, but when I have company, there's always a great bottle of wine on the table.
Brilliant. Okay, next question for you. Jim wants to know, do you feel narrative is failing, as I feel so with so much exposure and exponential awakening? Do you feel that the agenda narrative is failing?
Yes, I do. I think there's a crack. And I think that the Fauci drama is a big crack in the dam. Some people say that they're using Fauci as a scapegoat. I don't think so. I think it's falling apart. The whole COVID thing is falling apart. The whole vaccine thing is falling apart. And they don't care, because they want 80% of the people vaccinated. Yeah. By the time the truth comes out, I personally feel that the vaccine is an extinction program. And, you know, this is going to upset some people, especially those of your listeners who have taken the vax. But I think that that's the agenda. They expect to severely reduce the population.
Now, I did send around a video that was sent to me, and I don't know whether people seen it. I don't know whether you've seen it, Patricia. I'll send it over to you if you haven't. And this lady works in the gas and oil business, and she's a recruitment consultant.
Yes.
And she helps. Did you see that one?
I did see it.
I think I sent it over to you. Now, that was interesting where she said they are looking to sort out a... something going on there. She was saying they were looking to sort out... They know staff who have the vaccine could potentially die within 3 years. So they were actually starting to put plans in place for them employees. So they're working out which employees got the vaccine, and then they're putting plans in place for when that person dies, if they do die, then to sort out replacement for that person. And this is what this person said on the video. Now, again, you know, is it true? I don't know. It sounds plausible. Corporate companies always plan 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead. So it kind of makes sense to me that they'd plan for that if they know that the vaccine's going to be causing problems like that with the depopulation agenda. I just found that quite interesting.
I found it interesting, too. And, of course, I questioned the source. There was also information that came out that the UN has shown a massive decrease in the population in, I think, 2025. Mm. A global decrease in population. So I don't know these. I don't have an answer as whether or not these are. I want to know the source of the information before I really buy into it. But that video made me very alarmed. And I do believe that this is planned.
Yeah.
I mean, we do know that Gates wants, you know, and Gates, who is this guy? Is he even a human anymore? But anyway, his agenda has been very clear from day one.
Yeah.
Eugenics is the program. And here we are.
Well, George.
So, you know, the people that take this vax, I mean, do your homework. The information is out there by so many experts. Mm. And if you're still subject to the same restrictions that you had before you took it, then why in God's name would you take it?
Yeah. Well, we've known about the Georgia Guidestones for years, and we know their depopulation plans for years, so it all kind of ties in. Okay, more questions for you. I have to throw them over there. Critical Ali wants to know, question for guest in her spiritual work, has she been given information from the benevolent forces that the cabal will fall soon? I really feel we are nearing the fall of the globalist empire.
Yes, the Syrian High Council have unequivocally stated that we will go through what they call the desert days, which is, they've been saying this for a while now because my book started coming in at 25 years ago, okay? That we would come to this point of the desert days and then the structure would fall and then we will be in the dawn. And this is these are the desert days. We're in them right now. And I believe, and I am supported by this body of beings, that we should never, the council always say, don't underestimate the power of the human spirit. You don't need to be saved. You don't need higher beings to come in or aliens to come in and save you. This is your moment. This is your war. Mm. This is your process of ascension. Did you think it was going to be easy? And, you know, this is what the council keeps saying. Did you think you're just going to sprout wings and soar up into the heavens? Ascension is about breaking away the crust that the skin of the old snake has to come off. And you have to emerge from it. And we never said it was going to be easy. It's simply what it is. And you're in it and you're going to get through it. And this, because there can be no, one thing the Syrian High Council have said is, there can be no purpose to the universe if the darkness alone wins. There can be no purpose to creation,
yeah.
No sense to it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, all this, what we've been through, humanity, what we've been through over thousands of years, it doesn't make sense for them to win at the end. It just doesn't make sense. It's not logical for me anyway. Okay, another question for you. Bluebell wants to know, question, she does she doesn't have to worry. I won't imagine anyone of us have got the vaccine. That's okay. More of a statement than a question. Yeah, I don't think anybody in the chat room there has got the vaccine. Joan wants to know, I'm asking a question. Someone mentioned in the chat earlier, if the shedding issue is just another divide and control mechanism to further divide us by Critical Alley. Well, Dr. Tenpenny talked about shedding or transmission, and it's a fairly new topic because they're only beginning to realise now that something's happening with the shedding, and people are experiencing things. Even my guest last week said he experienced something from being close to somebody, or being, you know, physically close to somebody. And he
I'm receiving many messages from people who are reporting bleeding. The people that are unvaxxed, that are in a work environment with vaxxed people, the women particularly are reporting that they're bleeding. A lot of them are menopausal women who have started bleeding after 15 years. Dr. Tenpenny was talking about three and four-year-old girls who are bleeding vaginally at school that are not vaccinated. So the idea that this is just another thing to divide us, I don't think so. This is happening.
Yeah, there is physical signs, all right, yeah.
Yeah, the physical signs are there, and more people are starting to report these things. And I personally am receiving a lot of reports.
Yeah.
It has a lot to do with bleeding, which is interesting because on the one hand, there are a lot of people that are getting blood clots from the vax. And on the other hand, people that are near vaxxed people that are not vaxxed are bleeding. It's like, what does this mean? I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah.
But I believe that, as Dr. Tenpenny said, there's a difference between shedding and transmission, and we believe that the spike protein is creating more spike proteins and they're being transmitted out. And that is a very frightening thing, to the point that my own brother is talking about coming to visit me, and he's had the vax, and I doubt that I'll let him in my house.
Yeah, that's the thing. When family members get it, and this divide is going on between families, and it's worrying with this transmission and shedding. I mean, again, when we get more information on it, obviously we put it out there. But, you know, the likes of people who are vaccinated and are given blood, or there's an accident. I mean, how's that going to work out when, if you're in an accident or something happens and you need blood, and they come on and they give you blood from a vaccinated person? I mean, that's a concern as well.
Well, that is a huge concern. And, you know, it's not a really bad idea to go to your local Red Cross and give your own. You can go to the Red Cross and give your own blood and ask them to store it for you. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know. Didn't know that.
You have to look, or a blood bank. You can actually go there, give your own blood, and maybe you pay for this luxury, but you can store it for yourself in case you've got an emergency. And it's a really good idea to do that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Okay, another question for you. Question from Joan. I have been told that I cannot get my next prescription without a blood test. What does Patricia think?
That's insane. Demand your rights. Listen to Dolores Cahill. She's Irish. I think she's also a lawyer. She's a doctor. And she's militant about this. You know, just find out what your rights are, because a lot of the times that these mandates are coming down, they're not legal, at least not yet. Yep. Who's saying you have to have a blood test to get your pharmaceutical? Where is that lawyer? Challenge it. Who's saying? I want to see the legislation for that.
Yeah, I mean, I have gone in and got prescriptions for family members, and nobody has turned around and said, "Oh, that person needs to come in and have a blood test before they get the prescription." So maybe it's something got to do with the prescription. But if there's no law and it's only a guideline, then you go, well, show me the law. First thing I'd say was, show me the law that says that. And if you have no law, if they go, oh, well, it's their new, say, I don't care what your terms and conditions are. The law doesn't require me to do that. And if the law doesn't require me to do it, well, I'm not going to do it. Give me my prescription or I'm going to sue you.
Yeah, we've got to stand up to these people. So I recently, 6 weeks ago, I sprained my ankle, and it was really bad. I have a third degree sprain. Okay. So finally, I acquiesced to go see a doctor, which I don't do often. I mean, when it happened, I went to the hospital. I got treated at the hospital for it. but after a while it wasn't healing very well. I went to the doctor. P.S. He looked at it for 2 minutes and immediately prescribed anti-inflammatories, a strong pain med. I said, ho. I said, doctor, I'm not here for meds. I'm here for you to see, you know, can you make out, you know, what's happened? Do I have a torn ligament or what? And he said, I'm giving you inflammatories because I know what to do for you. So this will speed up the process. And I was in his room 2 minutes. It was just like in, out with the prescription. And I didn't fight with him because it's a small island and I don't want to have the medical community against me, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
But I went, wow, your normal person would just immediately take these pain pills and this stuff. And I came home, of course, I didn't get the meds and, you know, it's going to take a little longer to heal it, but I just don't arbitrarily accept anything the doctors or the pharmacists or anything to do with this, the most profitable industry on the planet. I refuse. I will challenge it to the death.
Mm. The third biggest kill.
Don't just believe these people, you know, yeah. Ask to see the legislation. And don't, you know, it's a good idea not to be militant. It's like, thank you very much for that. Can I see the legislation for that? Because it's news to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, not being belligerent will probably help get it, you know.
As I say, I always say, understand your argument. If you understand your argument, then
exactly.
you know what way to say it. And I'd say that to Joan. Go and find out. Ask them. Where's the law that states that? If they go, well, it's government guidelines. Say, well, guidelines are not the law.
That's right.
Sorry. Right. Okay. I'm just watching the time there. Question from Jim. Will those that die and shed body as result of jab or die as natural causes ascend or move on to next dimension?
Well, referring back to our earlier conversation, it's not for us to judge that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
However, my understanding is if you are acquiescing to letting a foreign substance that has no proof, it hasn't been tested, and it has all these evil, I'm going to use the word evil, overtones as far as what this is, which is an extinction program. If you willingly give over to that, then my question is, are you at a soul level ready to move up the spiral? Or are you going by nature of acquiescing your power, committing to going around and around and around some more on the wheel of reincarnation?
Mm.
Personally, I feel that way.
Yeah.
I feel that when you give away your power, you yield, you get down on your knees to, you know, an arbitrary power that you're committing to going around and around until you learn the lesson that you are the power.
Mm. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no, I totally agree. Jim wants to know also a question. Following on from above, did you say earlier that we are already in 4D? Please expand.
Yes, I did. And the last book that I did for the council said we were now starting to feel the fluttering of the fourth dimension. And now I feel like we are really, really, the merging of 3D and 4D is underway. And by that I mean, first of all, the council already said you're not going to even recognize that you're in another dimension because it's not that what your perception is of 5 and 6D is that you're going to be light-bodied beings and it's going to be a harmonious field, etc. But 4D is the twilight zone, and it's going to look like 3D in many ways. But you will realize that, first of all, the karma of all the civilizations that ever existed on the planet is going to be playing out. The shadow self of your own life, your own being, and the shadow of civilization is going to be front and center. And it's going to be a barrage, a nonstop assailing on the common experience, because that's what the 4D is. It's a clearing station between the density of 3D and the higher realms. And so we're moving now into full 4D consciousness. The galaxy is going crazy. The solar flares are happening. I mean, we have support celestially for this aspect. And the other planets in our solar system are heating up and they're all transforming as well. But yeah, I think that we are now not fully detached from the 3D, but just think of it. Just think of what 3D reality looked like 16 months ago, what it looks like now.
Definitely.
We're in a sort of, you know, a bizarre enactment of life.
Yeah, it's surreal.
It's very surreal. And that's an aspect of being in, you know, shifting, not as our illusion is ascending, that fourth is going to be higher, we're going to be better. No, fourth is the clearing station between 3D and the higher dimensions. And it's painful. But, you know, it's just like all holes barred.
I just got an image there. You know, the 3D is you leave your house to go shopping, and when you come back, a hurricane has just gone through and plowed your house down, and now we're in the process of picking the pieces up and trying to sort things out. I don't know whether that's a good analogy, but that's just...
Yeah, because you see the pieces, you know the house used to be there, but it's not anymore.
Yeah, and you're going to have to fix it the way you need to have it fixed.
Yeah, it's a very good metaphor.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Now, let me see what other question we have here. Please ask the question. That's okay. I will do you damage. That's what Bluebell is saying. Unfortunately, we need people to die from the vac for people to wake the hell up. Well, look, Bluebell, there is a lot of people who are dying at the moment, unfortunately, from symptoms of the vaccine directly and indirectly. We know that, and they're hiding the numbers. There was a video that I sent around a few people during the week that in America there was 151,000 cases were hidden and changed of people that were suffered or have been affected or died from the actual the vaccination. So we know they're massaging the numbers and changing the numbers, and a lot more people are getting are being damaged by them. And I mean, last year, you know, when you got shot, you know, you could be shot by somebody with a gun and they'd say, oh, that was COVID. You know, everything was COVID. So now there are, you know, when you die, even if it is, if it's a vaccine, oh, no, it wasn't a vaccine, it was something else. You know, now there is this rumor that this football player that took a heart attack yesterday during a live match, there's a rumor going around on the internet, and I don't know whether it's true or false, but apparently on the 31st of May, he had the vaccine. I think it was the Pfizer one that was said on social media, but you don't know what to believe. Some people are saying no. Now, I can understand that. You can imagine, think of the PR, right? So this guy, if it is true that he got the vaccine on the 31st of May, the Pfizer vax, and then he had a heart attack, and it was caused by a blood clot, and they had to use the defibrillator to get him back. Now, if that went out to the media that was caused by him having the vaccine, can you imagine the backlash on the vaccine? So that is a PR disaster they'd have to cover up, even if that was true.
And they're having more and more trouble covering all this up, because it's like the holes in the dam and the finger in the dam concept, right?
Yeah.
They keep plugging up one thing and something else happens somewhere else, and it's starting to get out of their control. And I personally do believe that this guy had a vax, but, you know, it's only a sensation. I don't have proof. But, you know, the question was, do more people have to die before we understand it? And it unfortunately looks like it. And, you know, again, it's their choice to take this thing. It's their choice to believe the lies. It's their choice to believe, let's say, the propaganda. And it's their choice to allow this to happen to them without at least weighing the odds. And, you know, that's not being cruel or merciless. It's just, you know, we have a responsibility to ourselves and the other on something that looks like genocide across the board, to decide, are we going to stand for in our sovereignty and not allow this to happen to us or not?
Yeah, and I don't watch the media. Apparently over here in Ireland, you have to register for the jab. And I didn't even know that until somebody said it to me the other day. Because I don't watch RTE, I don't watch the BBC or Sky, I don't watch any of them stations. I don't tune into the radio in my car, I just put music on, or else I don't have anything on. So I'm completely away from the mainstream media as to what's going on. But obviously I'm on social media and people send me over information all the time, which is great. Thanks for everybody doing that. And I just kind of form an opinion based on 20 years that I've been involved in this and putting the picture together. And I'm not saying my picture's right, but I'm just getting, you know, a feeling for it. And then I go, oh, that's interesting. And I'll entertain it. As I always say, Aristotle, the mind of an educated person is to entertain a thought without accepting it, the sign of an educated person. So, and that's what I try and do. I really, that's all I can do is just to entertain and look at information that's out there. But Patricia, we've reached that time, and it's been fantastic having you on, having speaking to a grounded person who we always have a good chat with. There's always great information, and we just call it, you know, what's what. And maybe some people will agree with us, maybe some people won't agree with us. That's the freedom of society, and for people to choose what they like and what they don't like. And it is what it is. Maybe next week, if we talk to each other.
What's important, though, is that, again, we don't declare to know the truth.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do is empower the others. So whether or not they agree with us or not, I'm sure they respect that fact.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, if we had another interview next week, there might be things that we said today that might be different next week. You know, it's just because new information comes in all the time. And as long as you can challenge what you believe, that's the important thing. Well, a big thank you for coming on the show, Patricia. Much appreciated. Love the chat. And do you want to give out all your contact details and all the information where people can find you?
Thank you. Yeah, you gave it earlier. My website is patriciacorey.com. And I'm also on YouTube. I'm also on Facebook. I'm pretty active on Facebook, actually. But patriciacorey.com is my main website. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can just go to the contact page and send me a message. And I usually manage to answer everyone that writes.
Yeah, I know you're very good and very active on YouTube, but you're the people that tune into you and stuff like that, which is great to see. One question, which obviously we hear a lot of people talking about, and apparently the changes are supposed to be, inverted commas, soon. Now, I've been hearing soon for the last 5 years, probably longer than that. What is your take on the timeline for maybe the next 6 months?
Well, I'm not big on timelines because they are fluid, and you know, people just keep getting in trouble with this timeline concept. But I think that we are, the next 6 months, we're going to be more locked down. They're going to be more, they're waiting to see the damage. They're waiting. The power is waiting to see how many people are damaged or disappearing after this main drive from the vax. So I think the next 6 months could be more of the same. Sorry, the girls are just out of control. Come on, stop. You hear them in the background?
Yeah. I better let you go. Okay, listen, Patricia, you take care of yourself. Just stay with me there for a minute. I'll just go to a musical break and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
Well, there you go. Great to have Patricia Corey on. We can really get into the subject matter when we throw subjects around. And, you know, some people might find it was quite controversial. There's a lot of things that we gave our opinion on and how we felt about it. And some people mightn't agree and have a different viewpoint. And that's allowed. That's fine. There's no problem there. That's just, we're just giving you our point of view on things and how we see it. As of today, tomorrow might be different. As I say, the fluid belief system, challenge your belief system. It's always healthy. Don't be afraid to step outside your comfort zone, because your ego will always stop you from doing that. And that's only when you start learning when you do that. So, interesting, great information. Again, people just need to use discernment and just go with what resonates with them at that time. You know, there's information that resonated with me 5 years ago that it wouldn't resonate with me now because I've moved on and things have changed. It is what it is. And I don't think I'd turn around and say anything to somebody that if I heard an interview 5 years ago and they believed one thing and now today they believe something different, I wouldn't stick to them. I wouldn't stick it to them and go, oh, you 5 years ago, you said this. Because I know information changes. People, we are allowed to change our mind if new information comes in. And we go, oh, right, okay, I got that wrong 5 years ago. Now this is what I believe and this could be wrong. You know, it is what it is. Once we're fluid and we do that and keep it fluid, I think that's the important thing. And there are people that we should never be woken up. And we know that. We know who the relatives are. We know who the friends are. They don't wake up. And I know it's very hard. It's a very hard time. I didn't really get a chance to speak to Patricia about the polarization of the frequencies. But maybe we'll do another show down the line and I'll ask her about that. And we'll have a chat about it. Because the polarization seems to be getting more defined. Where the people who are the mask-wearing matrix people compared to the unvaxxed, unmasked people. I think this divide is getting bigger. And I'm, as I say, I was out shopping today and I was quite concerned the amount of people walking around outside on their own with masks on. You know, I mean, this little bacteria-ridden piece of material on your face, you think it's going to save you from getting the virus, which has not been isolated. You know, it's just unbelievable, unbelievable. I did put a post up on Facebook and I said, people are so busy with their lifestyles that they've outsourced their thinking to the BBC and Sky and RTE. You know, they don't want to think anymore. I'm too busy. My life's too busy. I'm going to outsource my thinking to the media and let the media do all my thinking for me. It's sad times. Okay. But there is good news on the horizon. Apparently, in the Irish Independent newspaper, it said that workers also have rights to keep vaccine status private, says legal expert. Staff will be able to return to the workplace even if they do not have the COVID vaccine and won't have to tell their employer or colleagues whether they have received the jab, according to legal experts. Employees enjoy powerful rights to privacy and to bodily integrity, including a right to reject medical treatment. This could mean that companies will not be able to segregate those who refuse to get the jab, nor can they demand to know the vaccine status of an employee. The situation is set to create a significant business risk and a legal headache as firms plan for the phased return of workers from August. Donal Hamilton, senior associate at Dublin law firm McCann Fitzgerald, said, "It's a voluntary decision of each employee whether or not they decide to take the vaccine. That essentially reflects the legal position." And you don't. You're not obliged to give out your medical information to your employer either. So, and I think companies have to be very careful with that, to be segregating people that don't have a vaccine or asking, demanding their medical information when they don't have a right to do it. So we do have rights over here. Hopefully we still have rights over here. Although Stephen Donnelly apparently now has the right to start changing the laws without going through the Dáil and the Seanad, which is a concern. You know, so we just kind of have to keep an eye on what goes on and what's happening there. And I'd also like to thank Liam, a big thanks to Liam, who's on the chat at the moment, for donating a keyboard. You remember on one of the donations we made from the PIF group was musical instruments to Oldcastle School, St. Oliver's Oldcastle School in Oldcastle. And Liam kindly, I met Liam during the week and kindly donated a keyboard. So I've sent an email to the music teacher. I'm sure she's busy because there's a load of exams going on at the moment. And I've said to her, I have a keyboard and when you're available, I'll drive down and drop off the keyboard. And that'll be another instrument they'll have in the music department, which is fantastic. So a big thank you to Liam on the chat room there for donating the keyboard. Well done. And so my guest on the show next week is a chap called David Du Bois. And David has been on the show before. He deals with climate change. And obviously there's a lot of changes going on with the planet and everything else. So I've asked David to come back on to give us an update on what's happening from his perspective and what he sees going on. You know, I am noticing certain shops like Super Value that I go to seem to be having problems with stock of food. Now, I don't know whether they're just trying to get rid of old food so they don't want to put the fresh produce up, or whether they're actually struggling getting certain products on the shelves. But sometimes the old shelves do be a little sparse, which is a bit of a concern. And there's a lot of companies struggling now getting parts. You know, carpenters looking for wood they can't get, and metals, you know, metal sheet metal and all kinds of components for electronics. They're all having trouble trying to get these parts, and the shipping issues and freight issues and God knows what. So all this is going on at the moment. So how is that going to impact all of us? I think what we have to do is we have to look at the lowest common denominator in your life. You have to ask yourself, what are the things that are going to be very important to you as shortages may happen in the future? For me, basically, it's keeping the roof over your head. You know, the five things we talked about. You have shelter, food, water, clothes, and there was something else, energy, you know, heat. Maybe heat. And everything above and beyond that is a bonus. So I think that's going to be our focus moving ahead for the next few months anyway, if not into the new year, with everything that's going on, because they're already telling us that the energy prices are going to be going up. So you might have to streamline your budget even more to save money. If things are tight at the moment, you might have to streamline it even more. Because they're looking to put the prices up. I know electricity and the energy companies are looking to put the prices up as well. So we're just going to have to be careful and look at the lowest common denominator for the time being anyway, just to kind of keep the plate spinning. That's what I'm kind of doing. Nothing extravagant. Mind you, I never did anything extravagant anyway. So, but I think, you know, we have to be aware of that. You know, keep that in mind. Okay, for myself, Alan James from Circle of White Light, thanks to everybody tuned in. As I say, it's a bit of a controversial show tonight. But we're not telling anybody anything. We're not trying to convince people of anything. We're just talking, giving our opinion on things and talking about information. So I don't want anybody getting upset or angry over anything that we talked about. It's just a discussion and it's just our views on things. It is what it is. As I say, maybe tomorrow might be different. We might change our mind. But that's just, you know, that's the benefit of having a fluid belief system. But for myself, anyway, I don't know who's up next on PIR, but I'm sure it's going to be a good show anyway. For myself, Alan James, take it easy. Thanks for all the emails during the week and the links that you're sending in. It's much appreciated. I am having a look at them when they come in. And any information that comes over as well is very interesting. So thanks a lot. Take care. Thanks for all your support and your donations. You really are making a difference by doing, you know, even if it's only a euro, it does make a difference. I really appreciate it. Remember, you're the savior. You're going to save yourself. Don't be relying on any guru over there or people who think they have all the answers. You're the savior. You have the strength. You know, just stand up and stand in your own power and you become your own savior. Take care. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleOfWhiteLight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.